Leading off with the big story of the day, here's The Drive with Zach Bye and Denver, Colorado's own Philip Lindsay.
Who win it now?
All right, off and rolling. 1 hour in the books. Lickety split. We're going to talk to Mike Kliss in about 6 minutes from now. And when Mike normally joins us on Fridays, but we are going to be on location tomorrow, Phil, and it is going to be a party. And I'm like, I don't know how well that's going to translate. Mike Kliss over the phone when we're downtown at El Patio, and it's just absolutely lit.
Insane.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah. Mike's going to have a hard time yelling.
Yes.
Yelling at us.
Yes, yes. but speaking of Kliss, I said going in the break, there's smoke between the Broncos and one quarterback in the draft, and it's billowing. The smoke is billowing.
Uh-oh.
And this time it's coming from a local source, and it is Mike Kliss, who once a year does a mock draft. All right? He doesn't do like 2.0, 3.0.
He does one.
Our guy Cecil does just one. I like that. I think there's something to that. Put all your eggs in one basket.
When is Cecil supposed to come out?
His comes out like the week of the draft.
Okay, it makes sense.
Yeah, and I think he'll maybe join us later today. We haven't talked to Cecil in weeks.
He's been running away from us.
He has. He's been ducking us.
Or he's been raging out there with the owners and the owners meeting.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But our guy Kliss put out his mock draft, Phil, and he is another name on a growing list that has Bo Nix going to the Denver Broncos.
Come on, Mike.
Does it feel like that? Like
he's having to force my hand. Where's my belt at, KJ?
Oh, no. No. Please don't spank Mike. did you get spanked growing up? Can I ask you that?
Are we going to get in trouble?
Dude, my mom had a carpenter in our church named Bill Meltzer make a paddle. And she would pound me and my brother. I am not kidding you, dude.
Yeah, we got spankings, man. Yeah. It was with the belt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
You know, good old fashioned spanking.
Yep.
This is all you hear is, no, Dad, no, Dad.
Yes.
No, Dad. You're in the other room. Like, damn, I'm next. Let me pad up. That's what I did for my mom. Now, my mom would come in, try to spank us, and you had to pretend like it hurts.
Yes. Right? Yeah. You got to sell it a little bit.
But my brother, he got too bold after getting spanked by my mom, pretend like, you know, he was hurting, and then whisper under his breath, that's why it didn't hurt.
Oh, no.
Now my dad has to come in.
Oh, no.
And I'm sitting there like, man.
Yeah.
But I think it's why I am how I am today. Loving, caring.
Yeah, dude, once in a while, man, my mom, she would be hitting us and, you know, right on the butt, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have like a wallet in that she wasn't wise to.
Yeah.
It's like a bulletproof vest. But then you got to do the cell job and the whole thing. How do we get here? Oh, you want to spank Mike Kliss for drafting Bo Nix. Does it feel like Bo is like almost, because most people want a first-round quarterback. A lot of Broncos country wants a first-round quarterback.
Yeah.
But it's almost like when you say Bo Nix's name, it's almost like you told him you were drafting an off-ball linebacker.
Yeah. If someone says Bo Nix's name, to me it's like we're trading down. We're going to trade down. Maybe get Bo Nix in the first round, but we're trading down. I don't think we stay at 12 if we're going to get someone like Bo Nix. I just don't. People can say the same for Michael Penix Jr. I don't think so. I think that his stock is going to rise a lot a week before the draft. A week before the draft, it's going to rise
Michael
up.
Penix Jr.?
I'm telling you.
Yeah?
There's always somebody like that. That all of a sudden, 2 weeks go by, a week goes by, and draft is getting ready to come around the corner, and then you start hearing their name a lot.
Yes. This was Trey Lance. No one had Trey Lance going. Dude, the odds flipped the night before the draft because you can bet on this stuff. It flipped to a degree that was like, oh, my God, something got out. Something happened where the day before the draft, it was like, no, Trey Lance is going at the very top. And when it comes to Michael Penix Jr., where do you think he would be drafted if there wasn't the injury history? And you know that's the thing that bothers me the most. It's not the play. It's not the national championship against Michigan.
Yeah.
It's the medical stuff. Without that, where do you think Michael Penix Jr. would go?
Without the injuries, Michael Penix Jr. went to a national championship, and every single quarterback usually there has went to a national championship except for Stetson Bennett.
Stetson Bennett. Yes.
He went MIA this year.
He did.
You know, something went on with him.
Yeah,
he was just gone.
Left the team, right?
Yeah, I think he's coming back this year, so that's going to be interesting. But usually you get at least top four, top five. I could see someone like Michael Penix Jr. with no injuries and the way he has thrown the ball being top three.
I think you're right. And forgive me, and maybe the text line can help me out. I was listening to The Fan today, and someone was quoting someone else. I think it was Mike and Mark, who was quoting another draft expert that said, and it might have been Dover and Will talking about it, but it was like they quoted another draft, quote-unquote draft expert, if such a thing exists, and they said that guy would be a top five quarterback. He'd be going to the top five without the injuries.
Yeah.
And my thing is, because you know I'm thawing out, right?
You say you're thawing out. You know, I just think that you're just saying that in the back pocket right now. You know you want J.J. McCarthy.
Well, I definitely want J.J. McCarthy. But it's like if you can't have exactly what you want,
yeah,
can you find love somewhere else?
And so you're going love in paradise or something like that, huh?
Well, it's the old song. I forget who sings it. If you can't be with the one you love, honey, love the one you're with. Love the one you're with. You ever hear that? That's from the 60s. And I forget. It's like Crosby, Stills, and Nash or something like that. Anyway, if I can't have J.J. McCarthy, I still want a quarterback.
We need one.
And it's like, who is it?
Steven Stills,
but that's from Crosby, Stills, and Nash. That's Stills from, yes. Okay, I was on the right track. If I can't get J.J. McCarthy, can I find a way to fall in love with Michael Penix Jr.? And when I watched that guy play, I couldn't have been more impressed.
Mm.
It's just the medicals. But if you're telling me it's going to be a risk anyway, with picking a quarterback, and you might hit 30 to 40% of the time, is it just, if you're telling me he would have went top five without the medical history,
yeah,
is it worth just baking that medical history into this process and saying it's a risk either way, and without the medicals, he'd have been a top five quarterback, but you can get him at 12,
yeah,
but the big risk is the injuries? Feels like the temperature goes up and that ice cube just shrinks a little bit as I thaw out.
We can go, look, you're not thawing out. You're still sitting right there frozen.
I'm not
frozen.
I'm somewhere in between.
Well, yeah, man, I'm thawing out.
Hey.
Sitting right there with J.J. McCarthy like, shh, I'm just lying. Look, we could go a little deeper. Was it Mike and them in the morning who was talking about having two quarterbacks? And we talked about it earlier today about drafting two quarterbacks. Who brought that up?
Well, I think it was Kliss who.
Okay, Kliss.
Yeah.
Okay, so then that's what you could do with someone like Michael Penix Jr. You can draft him in the first round, and then if you guys are so scared of his injury history, then you do what Mike Kliss is saying, is draft another quarterback later on.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Well, Mike's on the line with us. He's on the Johnson Auto Plaza hotline. Mike, welcome back to the show. Thank you for being flexible and joining us today as opposed to tomorrow. And we know that you were on The Fan just a few hours ago.
Yep.
But I'm curious. One, I got to give you a hard time, Mike, okay? Because your mock draft was a little hard to follow. All right, it was a little hard to follow.
Hey, the Josh gave me kudos. Wait a minute,
he did.
I figured the first round. I might have lost people with the first round. the first pick.
Well, you had Bo Nix going at 12, but then you said there's a second option where the Broncos could trade back from 12 in the 18 to 24 range. You pick up a day two pick. You pick like an edge rusher like Jared Verse coming out of Florida State in that 18 to 24 range, but then you take the draft equity that you got from trading back, you trade back into the first round and take either Bo Nix or Michael Penix Jr. at the end of the first round. Do I have that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Which
that's one scenario. See, to me, that would be almost the ideal scenario where you can get two starters, two players in one. And George Payton did that with Minnesota in 2014 with Teddy Bridgewater, traded back into the first round, used a second and a fourth round pick to get number 32 and take Bridgewater. You know, something like that is, I think something that the Broncos, since George has already done it, something that he would bring up. And that would be, you know, for something like that to happen would be, you know, if the quarterback you really love is gone, you know, you like another quarterback, you know, you need another quarterback, but you don't want to take him at 12. And so, you know, you move back, you get an extra pick, and, you know, you can either take a quarterback, I guess, from in that 18 to 24 range, or take a player and realize that, you know, maybe a guy like Michael Penix, because of his medical, could slip. You know, he's what they're talking about with Penix is he's going to go to the second or third round. So, you know, if he's still there, you know, you maneuver to get him at the very end of the first round, which is what often happens. I mean, the Ravens did that with Lamar Jackson a few years ago. He was the number 32 pick after they had a big class. So, yeah, I threw out a few options out there, and I do think the overriding thing here is I do think they're going to end up with a quarterback in the first round. It's just a matter of but you just don't know if they're going to trade up, take a big swing up to number four if Drake May gets by New England, or go up just a couple spots if J.J. McCarthy is still on the board, or stand pat and you wind up with someone like maybe Bo Nix or Michael Penix.
Now, Mike, you said that you still think that we are going to draft a quarterback in the first round. But if we don't,
I do.
If we don't, and Sean ends up doing something crazy and we don't pick that quarterback in the first round, would this be considered a failure because we did not go for that first-round quarterback?
Well, I guess time will tell on that. It's possible. I guess that would say that Jarrett Stidham is your quarterback in 2023. You're trying to fortify the – or 2024 – you're trying to fortify the rest of the roster. If you get a real good player, it would be, it was kind of like Pat Surtain and Justin Fields. You know, the Broncos had the number 9 pick and didn't take a quarterback, and they wound up with Pat Surtain. Was that a failure? Most people, not all, but most people would say that was not a failure, that they did well doing that. So that type of scenario could happen again. But, the bottom line here, guys, is Sean Payton, he improved the team with a quarterback he didn't believe in. He's got to get a quarterback he does. Because when you go into this draft, I do think you got to be mindful of the division you play in. And that's Patrick Mahomes with Andy Reid. That's Justin Herbert with Jim Harbaugh. And what has Sean Payton got? Jared Stidham. I mean, Stidham might be a good quarterback, but there's no way of telling after 5 years with 4 starts and 1 win.
Right.
So I think Sean Payton has to come away. He has to come away with a quarterback in the first round, I do believe. Will it be a failure? I don't know, but it sure seems like they got to start fighting here against the Mahomes and Herbert going forward.
Yeah, and when you say that, and you bring up, obviously it's a fair dynamic. I mean, that's who your next-door neighbor is, and there's differing opinions on that, though. It's like, man, you are not even close to them. You cannot look at their Range Rover and make your next decision on your vehicle based on what they're driving. But at the same time, if you were to make a decision with acknowledging who's in your division and that they're not going anywhere, that leads me to believe you take the biggest swing possible. You try to get up into the top 3 or 4, Mike. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. And I'm sure that discussion has been made. Sean Payton has said it's realistic that they move up, and he mentioned the number 4 spot, Arizona. Now, it's still hard to believe that New England's going to pass on May and Washington's going to pass on Daniels. and the Bears on Caleb Williams. I mean, that's the chalk. You know, the question is, you know, can J.J. McCarthy or Bo Nix become the next, you know, Drew Brees-like and overachieves? And, you know, Drew Brees was 6 foot. He was a second rounder coming out of college, out of Purdue. And he sat at least 1 year, I think, with the Chargers before he played. You know, is that what the Broncos are going for? I just think that, boy, it's tough. It's you can really be suffer from paralysis by analysis with this one, because there's something to be said for all the quarterbacks. There's something to not say about each of these quarterbacks. And then against that, there's Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. It's just a tough deal for the Broncos right now. They got to get the right quarterback for Sean Payton, and only Sean Payton decides who that is.
Right, right. Last one before we let you go, and I'm going to ask you a question. I know you have no way of knowing, so I'm going to ask you to speculate, okay?
Yeah.
This would have been so much easier picking this quarterback if the Broncos were picking at the top of the draft, and yeah. they had a decision to make at the trade deadline. And they chose to compete. And in the moment, it's so easy to say, let's go out and try to win games. But now we're sitting here in the spring looking for an exit ramp of this quarterback highway that they've been on forever.
Yeah.
If Sean Payton could go back and do it over again, do you think he does it differently at the trade deadline with moves, some moves that he ultimately did anyway?
Yeah, I think there's maybe a thought of, you know, it seems like at the trade deadline, he was thinking about benching Russ, and he didn't do it. You know, it's interesting. They beat the Chiefs going into the deadline. You know, they weren't supposed to do that. What was it, 16 in a row? And it is interesting to think about how things would have changed had they not beat the Chiefs going into the deadline.
Right.
I think they definitely would have been sellers. Yes. And, you know, in light of things, given where this program was, which was in the dumps for 6-7 years, the fact that they won two in a row against Green Bay and where they didn't play well, and against the Chiefs, where, you know, everyone's going, oh, man, beat the Chiefs. Maybe this team's not so bad. They went for it. They got in contention. They won the five in a row, and they didn't have enough. You know, I don't know what to say, Zach. They went for it. I don't blame them for going for it. They did get into the hunt. There were meaningful games in December. They blew it against New England at home on Christmas Eve. They weren't supposed to do that once they got that far. And, yeah, in hindsight, you hate that you're picking number 12,
right,
which is in the middle of nowhere, and you need a quarterback, and you seem like you're starting all over again. So I don't know. It's a weird cycle the Broncos got themselves on, and let's see what they do. Let's see what quarterback they come up with. You know, would Bo Nix excite Broncos country?
No.
Knowing that he might? Yeah, probably not. But Sean Payton might think he's the ideal quarterback for him.
Yep.
You know, J.J. McCarthy, I said this earlier, I don't think Patrick Mahomes is going to toss and turn this offseason because the Broncos wind up with J.J. McCarthy. Any of these guys, really, in the middle three.
So, Mike, I don't want to cut you off. I want to get where you stand on this. Do you believe if it comes down to Bo Nix, or Michael Penix Jr., if you're drafting – right, and that's just you. Who is a better quarterback at the start of the season? Do you think?
Well, Penix is the better quarterback at the start of the season.
Okay.
But Michael Penix might not be there in 2026.
Mm. Okay.
I mean, he had four season-ending injuries at Indiana.
Right.
Two ACLs on the same knee, mm-hmm. and each shoulder. He needed surgeries on both shoulders. And now he was clean the last 2 years, and you know, when he was in for a visit Tuesday, I'm sure they took a physical, And it'll be interesting to see what the Broncos medical team came away with that physical on Tuesday.
And they definitely did that.
But, from what I understand, all these guys take that's SOP.
Okay.
They take physicals when they bring them in.
Okay.
I don't know that for sure, but just that's what they do on these top 30 visits. And so I'm not sure, but I'm assuming they did. And then what do they think about that? And then what do they think about, you know, right away, the best quarterback in 2024 or the best quarterback in 2026? Mm. And Michael Penix is the answer to 24, but not necessarily the answer in 2026.
All right. We will leave it right there, Mr. Mike Kliss. We appreciate your time today on a Thursday. And enjoy opening day tomorrow, man.
I'll be there. And I know you guys will be parked somewhere around in there. And
are you going to go to the game?
I'll be covering the game for Nine News.
All right. Oh, you're covering it. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. It's the one. It's kind of the one game a year I cover. And, let's see if they got five in the eighth against the Cubs. Let's see if they, that gets them going a little bit here for the home opener.
Yeah, we shall see. We shall see. All right, Mike, great stuff as always. We'll do this again next week.
You got it, guys.
All right. There's a couple things that came up in that conversation I really want to circle back to.
Yeah.
And we'll do that here in a couple minutes. But in the meantime, a decision was made by the Broncos a month ago, and it still has no resolution. I'll tell you what we're talking about coming up next. All right, let's come off the top rope with it.
One.
Okay. A decision was made by the Broncos a month ago, and it still doesn't have a resolution. And technically, it doesn't directly impact the Broncos anymore, but I am really curious about it.
This would be the first time something did not impact the Broncos anymore.
Well.
There's always something.
Maybe on game day this fall, we'll be looking back, asking why they did this, but they did cut Justin Simmons a month ago.
Yeah.
And the former all-pro safety is still floating out there in free agency.
Mm.
What's going on with Justin Simmons?
Yeah, OJ, man. Look, it's not because nobody wants him. I guarantee everybody wants him.
Oh, sure, right.
You know, I think it just comes down to two things. Does Justin Simmons want to go to OTAs?
Mm.
He doesn't really have to. Go enjoy vacation. Go with your family. Like, you're ready to play. Nobody wants to be in a building right now. And are they giving him the money that he wants?
Right.
Right? With all these safeties, they're trying to reset the market, Zach. Just like they did the running back situation, right?
Right.
Somewhere along the lines, they're up there talking, saying, hey, we're giving the safeties way too much money now. We have to find a way to get everybody back to earth. In order to do that, everybody has to be on the same page as a GM and an owner that we are not going to sit here and pay these safeties. And that's what it looked like.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It definitely does. I just thought Justin, after a month out there, but maybe it is just like, yo, I'm not anxious to sign anything right now.
I'll take my time. I'm not going to take anything, and I want to be on a playoff team.
Right, and I'm expecting that to be ultimately the case, but yeah. The last time that I felt like this, when I say feel like this, I'm just thinking out loud. I'm not like, you know, hurt or anything.
Yeah.
But the last time I had this feeling was with Dalton Reisner.
He's still out there, Zach.
So he signed
signed a one-year deal with the Minnesota. See, I got a bone to pick with the Vikings because, you know, that's my guy. He came in there, right? Didn't get the money that he deserved. He started. They got rid of their starting guard because Dalton came there. Did fantastic. Did a great job.
Yeah.
He's still sitting there waiting for somebody. Now, I think he's probably gotten calls. He's just not getting the money once again, which is just like, I don't, like somebody has had to badmouth someone like that.
How can that happen?
Man, they talk, Zach. People talk. Even if you do a good thing and a good deed, and they just don't like you.
And that's Dalton. We're talking about Dalton Reisner and Justin Simmons.
That's what I'm saying. Two dudes. Now, I think Jay can go anywhere he wants. It's just about how much money he's willing to take.
Yeah,
I think it's the same with Dalton, but Dalton's not willing to take something like a little over vet minimum when he's going to probably start for somebody.
Yeah. Is Justin Simmons in a training camp when training camp opens?
If he wants to be. If he wants to be.
Do you think today, I'm not going to hold this against you, do you think today on April 4th, Justin Simmons will be in a training camp on day one?
Yes.
Okay. Dalton?
No. I think there's some things going on.
Okay.
I think that, like, truly, and I don't know, I'm going to have to get to the bottom of it.
Get to the bottom of it.
I'm about to sneak into the NFL office.
Yes, yes.
Go through everybody's emails. Hopefully find something about me so I can blackmail them.
Hey, if you see a file labeled Sean Payton, grab it.
I'm going to try.
If you're going to the league office.
I'm going to try. It might be, it's going to say, Sean Payton, cleared. Oh. Everything is clear. Somebody wiped it clean.
Oh, my goodness. I will keep it pushing here.
One, two.
Hey, man, this is pretty crazy considering the way that I have followed this for the last 7 years. So this is my 8th opening day tomorrow.
Huh.
All right, and I'm pumped to do it with you. It's going to be fun.
It is.
We're going to be down there. It's going to be a hoot, all right? I have never experienced as bad as the Rockies have been, especially the last couple years. First couple years, it was, I mean, tickets, even to regular season Friday night games in 17, 18, very early in 19, they were like, it was a premier ticket. But opening day is always sold out.
Mm.
Always, yeah. always. Phil, especially if it's going to be 70, 75 degrees and sunny, as of this morning, you could still get tickets to opening day.
Wow.
Not like on the secondary market, which you're going to be able to get those. You just got to pay more. I'm talking about the primary market, like Ticketmaster. You could still get tickets this morning. And that I find, and I'm sure by first pitch, they'll all be sold out.
You would think.
I'd be shocked if they're not. But I'm telling you, I'm shocked anyway that the day before the first pitch of the Rocky season on a day with the weather like we're going to have tomorrow, the fact that you could still get tickets, I wonder if it's the start of a very slow, like, withdrawing from the Rockies from their fans.
I mean, can you blame them? Can you blame our fans out there? Look what they're putting out there right now, Zach. It doesn't seem like Dick Mumford gets it. He's not wanting to help. I know he wants to win, but do you really want to win? There's ways to win. And it's not just about forking out money. The farm system has to be better.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes. The money that you do fork up has to be put in the right places.
Yes.
And it would have helped us if we would have had opening day and a home opener at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah,
that we would have been able to be sold out.
Yeah, because now it's like, oh no, this is really bad.
Yeah,
like you get a preview of what you're going to see tomorrow.
We needed somebody else to come in, a big team like the Dodgers to come in tomorrow. Because if the Dodgers would have came in tomorrow,
sold out. Yeah, but it's the Rays. And we have a lot of people that move here for sure. I don't know if as many from Tampa Bay, like they come from, you know, Wisconsin California, Texas. Yeah. We'll see. We shall see, man. That was really interesting, I thought. And you can read about it at denversports.com if you want further details from Jake Shapiro.
One, two, three!
All right, and then finally, Broncos sign former Bears and Ravens center Sam Mustipher to a one-year deal.
Oh!
He has played over 50 games in the NFL, has started over 40. We knew they had to do something, after the departure of Lloyd Cushenberry.
Yeah.
Do you think they could draft one in addition to this?
No, they're not going to draft one. Zach, they have too many holes to fill. They just picked up this man. They have a young man that George said was a starter talent.
Yes, that's Alex Forsythe, who they took in like the 7th round last year.
And he was on practice squad majority of the time. Now he's a starting talent.
Yeah.
So no, they're not going to go out there and draft another center. They have too many holes to fill. All right. I'd rather them draft two quarterbacks than another center.
Okay. I like that. We'll see what it looks like in camp and see if there's an open battle for the starting center spot. Okay. We'll leave that where it lies. All right. One of the details that came out of our conversation with Mike Kliss, I do want to circle back to it because do the Broncos acknowledge their neighbor while taking care of their own yard? I want to have that conversation with Phil coming up next.
Sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around. Sweep around your
conversation with Mike Kliss a little bit ago. And, you know, some stuff came up in that conversation that I wanted to circle back to. And
Kliss always gives us something good. You got to listen.
I love Mike.
Yeah.
I know people give him a hard time, and I know he works for the television station that's a partner with the Broncos,
yeah.
And I love Mike. Mike does a great job. Love talking
Fantastic
to Mike.
Fantastic job.
And, you know, he said something that I'm like, it's not like we haven't thought of this before, but haven't thought or certainly talked about it in a while, when he's like, you're in a division with Pat Mahomes, and if you think Pat Mahomes is going to be losing sleep over drafting Bo Nix or whoever, I think he's might even said JJ, he's like, it's just not going to happen. And you got Justin Herbert in there, and now Harbaugh's in the fold, and we'll see what happens with the Raiders. But it does make me think of, like, the approach, and if they're actively talking about their neighbor, and I don't even know if it's the right decision to make. It's like, do you do something for you and your household with your neighbor in mind when you're that far away from their kind of wealth?
Yeah.
My instincts say no, take care of your yard, figure out your own stuff, but at the same time, they live directly next to you.
Well, you're human too. You're human too, Zach. I mean, there's times that you look over there and you're like, man, that person got it all. You know, I got this right here. It's hard to stay focused because it's like, I wish I had that because it'd be easy now. So, yeah, of course, like in that situation, you have Patrick Mahomes sitting there. And how many times do you think that they're sitting in that office saying, man, what if we had Pat?
Right.
You know,
right.
What if we had a Tyreek Hill in the building?
And Sean is actually someone who wanted Pat,
yes,
and tried. Right. And I mean, it got so far along that he had discussions with Drew Brees. This is what we're planning on doing. We're going to draft this kid out of Texas Tech. Andy Reid jumps him, and NFL history is totally written by a different victor.
Crazy.
But I do wonder if it's like, hey, no, we're acknowledging the elephant in the room. That's Pat Mahomes. And therefore, that's going to require a huge swing, and that's trading up in the top three and trying to get Drake May, trying to get Jaden Daniels. And you need a partner, and maybe it's just impossible. But I wonder if those conversations are being had.
I think they are, because it's funny. We're talking about this now. Sean Payton, Andy Reid, they're in the same division.
Yeah, right?
So Sean Payton probably is that angry, jealous ex that said, you took my man. Now he's like so.
And now
he's always creeping on the page. He's always creeping on the Twitter page and the Instagram page to see what Andy Reid's doing.
But now it's like, Andy Reid goes to get the mail, and there's like Sean Payton looking in his window, like, hello. I'll find you. I live next door now.
Andy has, what do you call it, a restraining order on
yes,
Sean.
Yes, yes. You got to stay within 100 feet. You can't come within 100
Sean's
feet.
Sean's mad. So you took my man.
Yeah.
Andy Reid, you know, on the beach drinking a Coors Light.
Oh, my gosh. But it's funny when you acknowledge the dynamic of this whole thing. And now you're right. Sean Payton is living right next door. And then it's the other dynamic. Is the Broncos trying to hire Jim Harbaugh?
Ooh.
Guys, that happened. And I've heard so many people come around to that, even on the station. Like, well, we know Broncos tried to. Dude, when I was banging the table of that last year, I'm an idiot. I was called an idiot. You can go back and look at my replies.
Yeah.
Because I had on decent information that they left the light on for him and took a late night trip to Ann Arbor right before they hired Sean Payton. I mean, right before they hired him. And this was being talked about on Michigan message boards because people were finding out about this late night. The whole thing is crazy, but now
it's sick because this is even sicker that they share the same girlfriend when it comes to
the agent. Yes, Don Yee has two NFL coaches, and it's Jim Harbaugh and Sean Payton. Dude, when you add up these factors of like Sean Payton wanted Mahomes to the degree that they were having conversation with Drew Brees, we don't want to catch you off guard. Reid jumps him. Now Sean Payton's in the AFC West with Andy Reid, and then the coach that the Broncos wanted to hire, I believe, before Sean Payton was Jim Harbaugh, and now he's in the AFC West.
Yes.
It's just it's wild, man.
It's a full circle.
It is.
Sean has the chance to have his cake and eat it too by getting them all. Okay, he's already beat Andy Reid. He doesn't have
in a regular season game.
Yeah. He doesn't have the quarterback that Andy has, but he can go out here and get one, right? That if he's a guru, that he believes he is because he thought he was going to get Patrick, and that didn't happen. So if he can get someone that's like that, that he feels like how he felt when he was trying to get Patrick,
right?
He's going to be happy.
Right.
You know?
But it's like, can you do that? If there's a quarterback in this draft that gives him the butterflies that Mahomes gave him in his little tum-tum, and he's like, I haven't felt this way, so, but you got to move up. Dude, I think he's going to try to remember that guy Jeff Duncan from New Orleans said, yeah, who knows Sean Payton. He said, if Sean Payton loves a quarterback, he will do everything in his power to get him or he will die trying.
Well, why not? Why wouldn't you? Sean Payton's all about the legacy. He has nothing to lose. But everything when it comes to here in Denver, because he got paid $100 million.
Yeah.
So he has to be able to just go all in. Go all in if your tum-tum is saying that this is like a Patrick Mahomes situation.
Yeah.
You don't mess with it this time.
Right.
He's having flashbacks. He's over there, you know, dealing probably with a therapist. And now he has a chance to get back on the horse and do it again. He can't mess this one up.
I just hope that he's not convincing himself that he's got the butterflies in his stomach. Because you know, he knows he needs a quarterback.
Yeah.
But you're not in a great place to land one of the top four.
So you think you're saying more like forcing it?
Yeah, I think that sometimes when someone turns 30 years old, they convince themselves they have to be married and start having kids because the timeline. It's like, well, it doesn't actually, and you could actually put yourself in a bad situation by trying to force the issue.
Yeah.
With someone who you're not organically, you know,
in love with.
Yeah. And I know people do that, and it's sometimes can be human nature with, you know, just how, whether it's who you're thinking about your body clock or pressure from social media or whatever.
You just get comfortable.
Yeah. And I hope Sean doesn't take a quarterback that he's not head over heels in love with. And if he's head over heels in love with a guy that is not there at 12, which is reasonable to think, is he going to try to do everything in his power to move up? And that may be offering more than anyone else is offering because they don't have the immediate capital that someone like the Vikings do. And maybe he's going to have to go above and beyond with what he's offering to move up, which could make it an even bigger risk if you get it wrong. I mean, the whole thing, this is fascinating here.
Yeah. See, here's the thing, though, Zach. The quarterbacks this year, they're good, but I don't get that. Uh-oh. We got another Tom Brady, Peyton Manning on our hands, and Tom Brady was a seventh-round pick, so we didn't know. But something like that where it's exciting, another Patrick Mahomes,
yeah,
right? Or, like, there's somebody that can be better than them. The person that people are thinking is going to go to the Bears probably, right? Caleb Williams is that guy. You know, everybody else is speculating, and even for Caleb, you're speculating if he's going to be good or not.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I'm willing to give everything I got in my bank account for a young man that I truly don't know nothing about.
Yeah.
When I could just kind of play it as it is, okay, come up with backup plans and keep my draft picks and continue to build.
Yeah, but if that happens, and that might be the wise choice, the fans, man, Broncos country, and I know a lot of people have patience with it, and a lot of people want him to just draft a positional player. Right, it's right, truly.
We got to watch it.
Yeah, yeah.
They're still going to buy tickets. I'm still going to be there. I'm still going to be happy when they win. I'm going to still be mad when they lose.
We need to see you featured on Broncos game day.
They don't want that.
You need to be featured in a Broncos pregame, whether it's, you know, planting the flag or, like, doing something.
They'll be like, Jaleel McLaughlin be like, hey, where's my pads at?
Like, oh, Phil's in the game.
He's in the game. Phil's he's coming out the tunnel. Where's the afro?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
No matter where's Jaleel at? He's tied up in the closet. Like,
that says McLaughlin is back in. Go get him.
Go get him, man.
Oh, my gosh. That's funny. All right.
You're a little bit more beefier than we thought.
Oh, my gosh. There is a big-time question just sort of hanging out there in Denver sports, and it feels like it's getting larger by the day. And we'll talk about that question coming up next.